Today's daf is Midos daf Lamed Vav. We are learning third parak of Maseches Midos today. So says the end. Hopefully, we'll do the fourth as well. We left off at the end of the second parak. We're on daf Lamed Hey and Beis, about to begin the third parak of Maseches Midos. So says the Mishnah, Hamizbeach Hayishloshim Ushtayim at Lamed Beis. The Mizbeach, the way the Mizbeach looked was that its base was 32 amos by 32 amos. Now, it was not, in fact, a perfect square, because on the eastern and southern side, the base didn't go all the way around. The base just protruded a single amma onto the eastern and southern side. It went all the way around on the northern and western side. So, if you were to go to the extreme north, and measure, you'd measure 32 amos, and on the western side it would measure 32 amos, but on the other sides it would not measure 32 amos. Obviously, some is beach yishloshim shayim alam beis ola amma v'kanas amma. So let's assume we're talking on the northern side or the western side. You would then go up one amma and go in one amma. Zayisod. So that area, the one amma high off the ground, that was called the Yisod Amizbeach. Nimtei Shloshim al Shloshim. So that Yisod would leave you with 30 amos by 30 amos left for the next level, because you went in one amma before you hit the next structure building up. Allah Chamesh V'Kanas Amma. So then you'd go up five more amos and in another amma. Zahasovev. So that on top of that area in was called the Sovev. Nimtzah Chavches al Chavches, which will leave you 28 amos left to go to the next level. Makom Akronos Amma Mizeh Va'Amma Mizeh Nimtzah Chavav al Chavav. And then you would have the Makom Akronos, which had one amma each on each of the corners. So that was would turn out to be 26 by 26 amos. Makom Hiluch Ragle Akwanim Amma Mizeh Va'Amma Mizeh Nimtzah Chavdalet al Chavdalet Makom Ma'aracha. And then you'd have to leave one amma for the Kohanim to walk all the way around, which would leave you with 24 amos by 24 amos, where you could have the ma'aracha, where you could have the actual fires burning on top of the mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yosi, mitchil lo haya el chavches al chavches. He says, no, we don't start with 32 by 32. The base is 28 by 28. And you keep going up, and then you'd get to not an area of 24 by 24 for the Ma'aracha, but rather you'd get to an area of 20 by 20 for the Ma'aracha. Ukshalu b'nei ha'gola, hosifu alavar ba'amos min ha'tzafon, v'dalat amos min ha'mariv, k'min gamesh, sh'nei ha'mariv ha'ariel, yud be'zorach b'shtayim esrei rochav revua. And then when the b'nei ha'gola came up, they added another four amos on the north and another four amos on the west, like the Greek character, the Gemma or Gamma, and we have a pasuk Yachol Sheinu al Yud Beis al Yud Beis. It might sound like it's only 12 by 12. K'shomer al Arba'as Rava'av Melamich Mina Emtza Humodid Yud Beis Amal Lekol Ruach. When it says 12 amos by 12 amos, it doesn't really mean 12 amos by 12 amos. It means if you measure it from the middle, you get 12 amos in every direction. V'chut Shal Sikra Chogro Be'Emtza Lahavdil Bein Adam Melyonim L'Danim L'damim hatachtonim, and they had this red line that went through the middle of the mizbeach to distinguish between the blood that was supposed to be thrown l'mala and the blood that was supposed to be thrown l'mata. Right, we discussed the difference between olasof, chatasof, and olas behema, chatas behema, with where the blood would go. That there was very specific requirements of the blood dafka going l'mala or dafka going l'mata. So l'mala l'mata means l'mala l'mata from the chuta sikra. V'yisoda y'mahalich al p'nei kol ha-tzafon v'al p'nei kol ha-marav. The yisod of the mizbeach would run along the entire northern and the entire western side of the mizbeach. V'ochel b'dorom amma achas u'b'mizrach amma achas. But in the south and the east, it would only eat up one amma of the south and the eastern part. It wouldn't go all the way around the southern and the eastern sides of the mizbeach. So a couple of things over here. There are three types of amos that we talk about. There's amos ketanos, there's an amma ketana, an amma beninus, and an amma gadol. An amma ketana is what we call an amma bas chamisha tvachim. Rashi Neriv and Dafgil and Beis, the Rashi Masech Skelim, Perek Yizayim, Mishnah Tes, that there's such a thing as an amma that's only five tvachim. A tvach, of course, is the size of an adult fist. So an amma is one type of amma. An amma ketana is five tvachim, which is the equivalent of 20 egodlim. An egodel is the width of one thumb. A tefach is the width of four thumbs, because if it's you hold your fist, it's the width of your four other fingers plus the height of your thumb, which roughly equals the width of four thumbs, because the thumb is a little wider than the other fingers. So if you have four egodlim for each tefach, and five tefachim for each amma, so it's 20 egodlim for each of the ammos ketanos. Then there's an amma beninus. An amma beninus is an amma of six tefachim. It's made up of six tefachim, which is 24 egodlim. And that amma is called the ammas shel Moshe. The amma shel Moshe is the amma beninus. According to the Mishnah in Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin, Moshe was misakin that Amma, the Ambeinus of Shisha Tvachim, or it's called the Amma Shal Kodesh. It's given different names in different places. Then there were two types of Amos Gedolos. One is six Tvachim and a Chatzi Etzba, which is only a Chatzi Etzba larger than the Amma Shal Moshe. And one is six Tvachim and a full Etzba, which is obviously a full Etzba larger than the Amma Shal Moshe. And those Amos, meaning those measuring sticks of an amma that had that little extra size, they were all placed in Shushan Abira, the small amma, the medium-sized amma, the large amma. They were all placed in the Shushan Abira room, which is a room built onto the Shara Mizrahi of the Azara, to the eastern gate of the Azara, and it was decorated with Shushan Abira, so it was called Shushan Abira. That was that room in the Beis HaMikdash. So they had all these different measuring sticks. The Gemara, Maseches Menachos, and Tzadi Zayin and Beis, quotes Machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the cheshbening of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. And according to our mayor, all of the kelim, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, so the Torah tells us how big they're supposed to be, how many amos, but which kinds of amos. When we say that the Aron is 2.5 amos long, does that mean that it's 12.5 tefachim long, because we're talking about amos bas chamisha tefachim, or does it mean that it's 15 tefachim long, because we're talking about amos bas shisha tefachim? According to our mayor, all of the kelim were with the amma beninus of shisha tefachim, except for the mizbeach hazahav, which was based on the amma ketana of chamisha tefachim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds the mizbeach hazahav and all the klei hamikdash were with the amma ketana of chamisha tefachim. That everything was based on the amma ketana of chamisha tefachim. There's a major discussion in the Maseches Baba Basra about how the luchos fit into the aron, depending on how big the aron was, how the luchos and the shivrei luchos and sefer Torah, everything managed to fit in. Because if we're dealing with luchos that reach six tefachim by six tefachim, and the aron had 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos, so they have to figure out exactly how everything was spaced, how everything managed to fit into the aron. So anyway, the Rambam paskins like the shita of Rav Meir, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Gimel, Halach Yud Beis, and also in his Perashim Shnayis, in the 17th parak of Maseches Kelim, the Rambam paskins like Rav Meir, that all of the kelim, aron, shulchan, menorah, they were all with an amma bas shisha tefachim. Only the Mizbeach Hazav was with an amma bas chamisha tefachim. Fine, so that would fit, that would be very very simple, straightforward machlokas. However, when the Rambam describes the Mizbeach, the Rambam describes the Mizbeach as being 58 tefachim tall. Now, the Mizbeach is supposed to be 10 amos tall. Why? You have the bottom level is 1 amma high, and then you go another 5 amos, that's 6 amos, then you have another 3 amos for the next level, that's 9 amos, and then you have the Kronos, is another amma that's 10 amos tall. So 10 amos tall, if we were dealing with Nama Bas Chamisha tefachim, would be 50 tefachim. If we're dealing with Nama Bas Shisha tefachim, would be 60 tefachim. But yet, the Rambam describes that the Mizbeach, the Rambam Beis HaBechir, Perek Beis, Halacha, Hey and Vav, that the Mizbeach was 58 tefachim tall. Why was it 58 tefachim tall? As follows. There were four sections of the Mizbeach, as we just described. The Yisod was one amma tall. What kind of amma? An amma bas chamisha tefachim. From the Yisod into the Sovev was 5 amos tall. What kind of an amma? Amma bas shisha tefachim. From the Soviv till the Kronos was 3 amos tall. What kind of amma? Amma bas shisha tefachim again. And then the Kronos themselves were 1 amma. That was back to an amma bas chamisha tefachim. So all of the amos were measured by amos bas shisha tefachim, except for the bottom amma and the top amma of the Mizbeach. Those were with the amos bas chamisha tefachim. So that's why you ended up with 58 amos is the full height of the 58 tefachim rather is the full height of the Mizbeach. So that's the way it was measured out. Another point, at the end of the Mishnah over here, we say the Chut Shel Sikra was Be'emtza, to be Mavdu between the Damim Elyonim and the Damim HaTachtonim. So I think we mentioned in the past, but we'll mention again, some of the Achronim have the following Chakira. Is the Chut HaSikra a Simen of the Makom Zrikas Adam, that to let you know where the upper half of the Mizbech and the lower half of the Mizbech is? Or is it a Siva? Is it the Koveya of the Makom Zrikas Adam? Meaning what's Koveya? Something as the upper half of the Mizbech is that it's Lamala Michut HaSikra. What's Koveya something as being the bottom half of the Mizbech is that it's Lamata Michut HaSikra. L'maynaf Kamina, what if you don't have a Chut HaSikra? They didn't put a red line on the Mizbech. So if you throw dam on the top part of the Mizbech, is it still called that you resort dam Lamala on the Mizbech? Or do we say, no, the defining point of Lamala is Lamala Michut HaSikra. Without a Chut HaSikra, it's not called Lamala, even if you're sure that you hit the upper part of the Mizbech. Or what if the Chut HaSikra was slightly misplaced? It was put on the wrong spot of the Mizbech for whatever reason. It ended up a little too low, a little lower than it should have been. So what if you do a little bit Lamata, a little bit Lamala of that Chut HaSikra? Is that still called Lamala? Is that a Kiyum of Lamala? If the Chut HaSikra is the Koveya of what's called Lamala, then yeah, that would be called Lamala. If the Chut HaSikra is not the Koveya, it's just the... it's not the Koveya of what's called the Mala, it's just a Simen, then it would not be called the Mala. So that's the discussion, the Achronim, they quote in the Bure Adaf, from the Sefer HaZikaron, Ohal Lechayim, in the name of Meir Soloveitchik Shlita. Okay, going weiter now. Mishnah Beis. Ubekeren ma'aravis dromis, hayushnei nekavim kamish, that Meir Soloveitchik is not the Meir Soloveitchik we know and love. It's a different Rameir Salvechik. Ubekeren Ma'arav, I mean, not the one from KJ, is what I'm trying to say. Ubekeren Ma'arav is Dromus, in the southwestern corner, Hayushnei Nekavim, Kimin Shnei Chot Mendakin. There were these two holes that were like two narrow nostrils. This is in the Yisod, on the bottom level of the Mizbech, and that's where Shadam Manitan Al Yisod, Ma'arav Yival Yisod Dromi, when they would pour the Sherei Adam, it would go into these two holes on the Yisod Ma'arav and the Yisod Dromi of the Mizbech. Yordan Ben Masarim Ba'ama V'yotzel Nachal Kidron. So they would go and they would get mixed into the Amma, which is the waterway that drained all the water and all the blood out of the Beis HaMikdash, and that all ultimately went down to Nachal Kidron, where it was used as fertilizer or whatever. But that was the drainage system that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah Vayitzi. Now Mishnah Gimel, Lamata Beritzba Ba'osa Keren, Mako Mayisham Ama Al Ama, V'Tavel Shel Shayish V'Taba'as Haysa Kavuaba. Underneath the floor, right by that corner, there was a space that was one Amma by one Amma that was covered with a tile of marble that had a ring attached to the tile. The ring would make for easy lifting of the tile. The tile was not cemented into the ground. You could lift up the tile using the ring. Shebo Yordan L'Shis, and you would go through there to the Shis, Umenakinoso, and you would clean it out. The Shis apparently was some place where stuff would gather. Machlokas Rishonim, exactly what stuff would gather. When we talk about the Shisin on top of the Mizbeach, like the Mishnayos and Sukkah, and the Gemara at the end of Sukkah talks about, some are talking about the Shisin that they would use to pour the Yayin down the Shisin, the Nesachim, the Shem and the Yayin of the Nesachim down those Shisin. So if you're pouring Yayin or Mayim, the Nesachim down those Shisin, so it's got to go somewhere. So there's a Machlokas in Mesech HaSukkah. Does it go all the way down to the core of the earth? Or does it end up somewhere? It just goes down to the bottom of the Mizbeach and it ends up somewhere that it's going to need to be cleaned out from eventually. So some say that's the kind of shis that we're referring to over here. Others say, no, this shis is a different shis. This is where blood ended up and that you needed to clean out the blood from this area. Whatever it is, they would access this area by lifting this tile to this area of one Amma by one Amma. The kevesh hayu l'dromo shal Mizbeach lamed beiz al rochav tezayin. And the ramp of the Mizbeach was to the south of the Mizbeach. It was 32 amos long by 16 amos wide. Now, when we say 32 amos long, I believe it means 32 amos of floor space that it took up. It does not mean that if you actually took a tape measure and measured the length of the ramp going up the ramp, that it would be 32 amos. It would be a little bit longer. The floor space that it took up in the Mikdash without the angle was a straight line, would have been 32 amos, and it was 16 amos wide. And they had a small alcove off to the side, to the western side of the Mizbeach. Exactly where this alcove was also is a machlokas, but this little space where they would be able to put the psulei chatas of to make sure that it was set aside and that it wouldn't be accidentally brought on the Mizbeach. So it was a place to put the psulim. Mishnah Dalet. Echad avnei akevesh ve'echad avnei mizbeach mibikas beis kerim. The stones for the ramp and the stones for the mizbeach itself, for the guf ha-mizbeach, came from a place called Bikas beis kerim. V'chol from the matam mibisula, they would dig underneath untilled ground, right? Karka Basula means ground that was never dug, that was never excavated at all. Umavi and Misham Avanim Shlemos, and they would bring complete stones, Shlohuna Falein Barzel. They never had Barzel, affect those stones. They were never cut by Barzel, were never cut by iron, were never touched by iron. Shah Barzel Posel Benegia, because the halacha is that Barzel passels the Mizbeach Benegia. The Mishnah will explain at the end why that's the case. But the halacha is, if the stones were pogum in any way, if they were chipped in any way, then it's lav dafka al yidei barzel. It doesn't matter how they got chipped, they would be possible no matter what, whether it was through barzel or whether it was through something else that chipped the stones. Nifkama achas man hipsula v'kulan ksheros. If one of the stones became pogum, so that stone was possible, but the rest of the mizbeach was still kosher, meaning not while the stone was still in it. If you had a stone that was that was one of the stones of the Mizbeach that was pagum, so now the Mizbeach was possible, but you don't need to replace and rebuild the entire Mizbeach. You only need to replace that single stone, and the rest of the Mizbeach is going to be just fine. They would reseal it with lime, with pitch, or whatever it was to make it nice and clean. They would reseal it twice every year, echad bePesach veEchad bChag, once on Pesach time and once on Sukkot time. Obviously, for the big crowds that were going to come, they wanted the Beis Hamikdash to look its best. They wanted the Mizbeach to look its best. So dafka once right before Pesach, once right before Sukkot, they would put the sid on it to make it look nice. Freck the Rush, if you look at the side of the page, the Rush writes, my Tzuris Daf's on the side, I don't know if any of the other Tzuris Daf's it's different, but Mlam Nosa Pamayim B'Shana, Shesad Nosa B'Sid, Freck the Rush, Vim Tomar, Vaka Mosef Abinyin, isn't this a violation of being Mosef Abinyin, K'siv, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad HaShem Alei HaSkil, that you have to keep the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash and everything done exactly the way it was supposed to be. But if you had originally 32 Amos by 32 Amos, and now you're adding to it by putting Sid along the side of it, twice every single year, so isn't this going to be most of a binyan, a little mashu each time? Vein lomar to bedover mort kazel lo mikri most of a binyan. He says, then don't tell me that it's too small to be a violation of being most of a binyan. This is just a tiny little layer that you're adding to it, so it won't be a violation of being most of a binyan. Damirin parakisi adam de kachem pturin mikisoi teichilav the mace of afar kam most of a binyan. The Gemara talks about doing Kisei Adam on Kachim and suggests that there might be a problem of doing Kisei Adam on Kachim because you're adding to the binyan by having the dam being covered by the dirt there, so the dirt is adding to the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. So that would be a problem. Or of the Mizbeach. The Yeshlomer Shem Mizbeach Yechol Lios Gadol Ad Shishim, because I mean per kachim kachim. Veidu per kisui adamach, kamal karcha kachim, lo bai kisui, dimel sif ala mizbech, vasoshal samachama, ef shal hosef alav. Inami yoyim kalpim nasirei yashin. He says two possibilities. One possibility is that the mizbech had to be a minimum of the size that we mentioned in Mishnah Aleph, 32 Amos by 32 Amos. So the Mizbeach was permitted to be built up until 60 Amos. So by adding Sid each time, it's not a problem. Aye, but didn't we just say that the Gemara says that you couldn't do Kisei Adam on the Mizbeach because it's going to be Mosef al Abinyan? You're going to be adding to the Mizbeach. So he says, yeah, the Gemara does say that, but maybe the Gemara is talking about when you already have a Mizbeach, that's the maximum size of 60 Amos by 60 Amos, how would you then do Kisei Adam? Then you'd be Mosef al Abinyan at that point. So it must be that there was never a halacha to do Kisei Adam, because then there would never be the possibility of building the Mizbeach until 60 amos by 60 amos, because being mosif beyond that would be a violation. That's all the Gemara is saying over there. But technically speaking, practically speaking, they were able to be sud besid twice a year, because until they got to 60 amos by 60 amos, there was no violation. Second answer, says the Tosfos Arash, maybe each time they added a new layer of sid, they took off the last layer. Sometimes that's like when you redo your roof. Sometimes they add new layers, but at some point they can't add any more layers. They got to take off the last layer. So when they hit that point with the mizbeach, when they right at the very first layer of sid, they line the whole thing with sid, and twice a year they would scrape it down and reline it, and therefore it never added any extra measurement to the mizbeach itself. But that's what malabna means over here. It means with sid, it means actually adding something onto the mizbeach. Vahechol pamachas bepesach, the hechol they would do once a year on Pesach. Rebbe Omer kol erev Shabbos malabnosam b'mapa mipnei adamim. So why do you say b'mapa? Because over here the word malabna means something different. The kind of libun you would do with a cloth, which means to wipe it down. That every single erev Shabbos they would wipe it down because it was full of blood. The mizbeach had lots of blood in it, so they had to clean it down. They just had to scrub it down. Lo yisodinosan b'kapis shel barzel shemi yiga v'yifsal shal barzel nivra l'katzer yom av shel adam. And they couldn't do the sid with an iron tool, because lest the iron tool touch any of the stones on the mizbeach, it would ruin the entire mizbeach. And the reason barzel cannot touch the mizbeach is because barzel is mekatzer a person's life. V'mizbeach nivra laharich yom av shel adam. And the mizbeach is there to lengthen a person's life. Eino bedin sheyonef ha-mekatzer al hamarich. And it doesn't, it's not appropriate to have that which is mekatzer life, that which shortens life, touch that which is meant to be ma'arich, a person's life. So the mizbeach, as it turns out, is this great vehicle of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us. It is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to generate the zechuyos that are going to be give us arichas yam v'shanim. That's what makes that gemara at the end of Maseches Makos all the more troubling, that the woman who went into the mizbeach and screamed at the mizbeach, was that in the Makos? No, where's that gemara? Maybe, yeah, I don't remember. That screaming at the mizbeach that you're a terrible wolf, you eat up all the mamonon shal Yisrael, you eat up all the money of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael pours so much money into this mizbeach, that she always viewed it as something that took away from people. But adarabah, everyone spends a lot of money to be able to, would spend a lot of money to be able to be marich shnosav, to be able to live a longer life. And that's what the mizbeach at its core really was. It was something that was marich a person's life. Mishnehei, v'tabos ayu l'tzonah shel mizbeach, vav storm shel dal dal, that rings in the ground to the north of the mizbeach where they would shecht. Those were six rows of four. V'yeshom dal shel vavav, some say four rows of six. Shalei and shochtem es hakachim, was on those rings that they would shecht the kachim. Beis hamitbachim hayu l'tzonah shel mizbeach, the place where they would slaughter was to the north of the mizbeach. Va'alav chesamudim nanasim, and they had eight small pillars. We just discussed this in Maseches Tamid. Revim shal erez al gaben, and they had these blocks of cedar wood on top of these pillars. Vankleo shal barzel hayikvuim kvuim behena, and they had iron rings kavua in those pillars. V'gimel sdarim hayu l'kol echad ve'echad, and each one had three rows of iron rings. Shabehem ayutolum mafshit umafshitim, that's where they would hang the animals to skin the animals. Al shulchan shoshayi shabena amudim, and they would take the dismembered parts of the animal as they were cutting it up and put it on shulchan shoshayi, on these marble tables that were in between the different amudim, that were in between these pillars. We described that process already, exactly how they would do the dismembering and the skinning and the dismembering of the carbon tamid. Mishnah Vav, Hakior Hoya Beno Ulam Lamizbeach, the Kior was right between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Umashuch Klape Adarim, but it was a little bit toward the south. Beno Ulam Lamizbeach, Chaf Beis Amma, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, there was 22 Amos. The Yud Beis Malos Hayusham, and there were 12 steps. Remember, there needed to be a lot of steps because Beis Mitzvah was built on a mountain, so you had to have a lot of steps to go from one section to the next section. So there were 12 steps over there. So the height of the first step was a half an amma, and then the length of the first step was one amma. Then amma, then you go up another. another step that's another Rama, and another step that's with a landing of another Rama, then Verovat Gimel. Then the next step up had a landing that was three Amos long. So it was the first four steps, we're going to have three sections, each of four steps. So you have Amma, 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 and then Gimel Amos of a landing. Amma, Amma, Verovat Gimel. The next one is three. So an Amma, an Amma, in the next two steps, and then another Rovat Gimel, another landing of three Amos. Velyona, Amma, Amma, Verovat Dalin. And then the top one was an Amma, and then Rovat Dalin. Then you had a landing of four Amos on the next step. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halyona, Amma, Amma, Verovat Hei. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the last one was Amma, Amma, Verovat Hei. It was one Amma, and then a landing of five Amos, not a landing of four Amos. Okay. Pischo shel ulam, Gova, we got to change the gears, Arbaim v'rochban Esrim. The Pesach of the Ulam was 40 Amos tall and 20 Amos wide. V'heim al tera'os shel mila hayu al gabav. And there were five beams that were decorated beams that were on top of the Pesach that made it look more beautiful right above the top of the Pesach. Hatachtona odefes al Pesach am mizeh v'am mizeh. The lowest of those five beams protruded one amma beyond the width of the Pesach on either side. So if the width of the Pesach was 20 amos, that lowest beam was 22 amos, protruding out one amma on either side. The next beam up was another amma protruding out on either side. So it was 24 amos, because going out an additional amma on either side. So if there were five beams, and each one protruded out one amma beyond, on either side, beyond where the previous beam was, so the top one was 30 amos long. And there was some decorative stone in between each of these beams. So it was a very magnificent doorway. There were these stone beams, or the gears has changed on the side, to not shaleven, but shal erez, these cedar beams that were kavua from the wall of the Heichal to the wall of the Ulam, so that it wouldn't buckle. V'sharsho shal zavai kavun b'tikros ha'ulam, and they had these golden chains in the coming down from the ceiling of the Ulam, shebehen pirchei kuna olam v'ronas ha'taros. From there, the pirchei kuna would be able to climb up these golden chains, and they would be able to see these ataros, whatever these ataros were, some type of domes or something. Shenemer v'ataros tia l'chalam l'tuvi l'idaya l'chein ben svani l'zicharun b'heichal Hashem. V'gefen shel zahav ha'iso medes al pischo shel heichal, and there was a gefen shel zahav, we discussed this as well, a golden grapevine that stood at the doorway of the heichal, umudla gabi klunsos, and this golden grapevine was spread over wooden sticks, just like any other grapevine would be held by wooden sticks that support the grapes. So this golden grapevine was no different. Kol mishu misnadev ala ogargir o eshkol mevi v'toleba. And anyone who wants to be misnadev, a leaf, a grape, a cluster of grapes, so the grapevine was able, a golden one, was able to go and hang it on that grapevine. Amar Rav Elazar b'Tzadik Maisa hayavanimnu ala shalosh meos kohanim lefnosa. Once they needed 300 kohanim to move it, it got so big. The Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayos says that they made a tsuras gefen shel zav by the Pesach of the Uchal of the Ulam in order to hisbarich begefen. What's the symbolism of gefen? Shekneses Yisrael nimshala legefen, because Knesses Yisrael is compared to a gefen. So the more they added to it, the more it was like a symbolically good for Klal Yisrael. Anyone who was misnadiv zav leheichal, would go and take whatever he was misnadiv and make a leaf or a grape out of it and hang it on that grapevine. But all because Knesset Yisrael is nimshal legefen. Now the Mefarish Maseches Tamid writes that this gefen is not a violation of l'sita l'cha ashera, meaning these klunsos, these support beams, are not a violation of l'sita l'cha ashera, it's on Mizbech Hashem, because it's not considered binyan, it's not built in to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Kesef Mishnah writes, It's also possible that they weren't kavua mamish in the binyan. They were kavua without any additional binyan, and therefore it's not a violation of the situlcha asherah kaleitz. There's also discussion in Tamid that we had whether this is guzmor or not. This idea of having these that you need 300 people. You need 300 kohanim just to move it. Whether that's a guzmor, that's meant to be taken literally. The mefarish and the bartanura, right? That it's vada got to be a guzma. That it can't be that it weighed that much. That much. It had to be dafka be a guzma. Okay. Says the hadron lacham is back. So now we move on to the fourth parak of Maseches Midot. Says the Mishnah, pisko shel heichal, the entranceway to the heichal. Gavo Esrim Amos v'Rachbo Eser was 20 amos tall and 10 amos wide. The Gemara in Erevin learns from here at the very beginning of Maseches Erevin that every Pesach is only considered a Pesach until a height of 20 amos. More than 20 amos is not considered a Pesach. Nafkamina for Erevin, you need a Tzuras HaPesach for Erevin sometimes, so it can only be up until 20 amos high. Lamalam Esrim Amos is not considered a Pesach. So the Ran writes, what's the Raya? Because if Lamalam Esrim Amos also had a din of a Pesach, so it's minaroi that in the Mikdash they'd make the Pesach Ulam as high as possible to make it more beautiful and more grand. Obviously, but it needed to be a Pesach, so they had to go with the maximum height they were allowed to use, and that was only 20 amos. So you're not allowed to go. Apparently, it's not allowed to be higher than 20 amos. Va'abra d'lasos ha'ilo, it had four doors, shtayim b'fnim v'shtayim b'chutz, two doors on the inside, two doors on the outside. Shnemar shtayim d'lasos l'heichal v'lakodesh. So to get into the heichal, you need to go through two sets of double doors. Ha'chitzonus neftachos l'toch ha'pesach. Now the actual doorway, meaning when you go through the first set of double doors, like whenever you go through two sets of double doors, there's a space between the first set of double doors and the second set of double doors. So the outer doors would open up into that space. So the doors would push in into that space. L'chassos ovio shel kosel. They would cover the walls of that space in between two sets of double doors. So when you would open up the first set of double doors, the doors would push up against the walls on either side, and then you would approach the next set of double doors. V'apnimios niftachos l'toch habayis. And then the second set of double doors would also be pushed open, not pulled, but pushed open, and they would open up all the way at a 180 degree angle into the actual heichal to cover some of the walls of the heichal when you opened up those doors. So the first doors opened up at a 90 degree angle. They would open up just to cover the walls of the area in between the two sets of doors. Then the second set of doors you push in, they would open up at a 180 degree angle to cover the actual walls of the heichal as the heichal spread out on either side. So the apnimios neftachos l'toch habayis l'chassos achar d'losos. They cover the walls that are behind the doors. Shekol habayis toch b'zahav chutz me'achar d'losos. The entire heichal was the walls were lined with gold, except for the area that was covered by the doors. Since when you open up the doors, it covered part of the walls, so that part didn't need to be lined with gold. You couldn't see it anyway, so there was no sense in lining it with gold. Rabbi Yudah Omer b'toch ha'pesach ha'yomdos u'kemin itzramita hayu. Rabbi Yudah says no. The first doors were right. They opened up by pushing in, but they folded, so they didn't cover the entire wall space between the two sets of doors. They only covered half of the wall space between the two sets of doors because they were folding. They were not accordion because there was only one fold. They were folding doors that covered half of the wall space between the two doorways. The second set of doors also were folding doors, but you didn't push them, you pulled them in. So they both sets of doors folded at a 90 degree angle. First set of doors pushed in, second set of doors pulled out, and between the two of them they covered the wall space in between the two sets of doors, but nothing covered any of the wall space of the heichal itself, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda understands it. And they would fold backwards, talking about the inner doors. Elu shnei amos semechza ve'elu shnei amos semechza. Chatzi amu mezuzah mikan v'chatzi amu mezuzah mikan. Shnei shtayim d'losos l'dosos, shtayim usabos d'losos, shtayim l'delos achos, shtayim l'delos l'acheres. So it just does the calculations of exactly how it would measure, but they measured it out perfectly that each of the doors split into half because they were they folded in half, and they each covered half of the entranceway in between the outer doors and the inner doors. Now the Bartanura writes that the acharei d'losos, we said right in our, it says in our Mishnah, according to the Tanakh, Kama, that the second that the inner doors opened all the way in at a 180-degree angle, so they didn't need that part of the Heichal to be lined with gold, because no one's going to see it anyway. So the Bartanura says, you see from here, that... Bartanura just points out Shaloha Yanira, that it wouldn't be visible, so it doesn't matter that it would be lined with gold. So the Yad Shol and the Mishnah quotes from the Gra that Mikan Yeshalochiach, we have arrived from here that the whole Hidur of Zekeli Vanveyu is only by a Dovra Nira. That the concept of Zekeli Vanveyu, the concept of Hidur Mitzvah, is only when it's something that's Nira, only when it's something that's visible. But Badavar She'enu Nira, when it's something that's not going to be seen, that's not going to be visible, there's no inyan of Hidur Mitzvah, there's no inyan of Lisnal, the fun of B'mitzvahs. Nafkamina might be Tefillin. Tulsus talks about Maseches Menachos. Is there any inyan in having very nice parshios of Tefillin, or is it just they need to be kosher? No one's ever going to see them anyway. They're covered completely in the Tefillin. So is Hidur Mitzvah Dafka Adin in that which is visible? So from this Mishnah, it sounds that way. And that is, in fact, the Shita of Tulsus Maseches Menachos Taf Lamed Bezim Bez, L'gabe Tefillin. Against the Shita of the Mordechai. The Mordechai is quoted in Darkei Moshe in Siman Lamed Beis, again in Hilchas Tefillin, because this is where it really comes up. The Yad Shol quotes from Medrash and Shir Ashirim that our Mishnah is talking about only in Bayis Sheni, but by Bayis Rishon, they were Tachu B'Zav Af Be'achari Ad Vlasos, that it's Dafka in Bayis Sheni that they didn't line it with gold, but by Bayis Rishon, even the Achari Ad Vlasos were lined with gold. Okay, last Mishnah of the day. Shnei Pishpishim Hayulo L'Shara God, that these two minor entrances by the Shara Gadol, one to the north of it and one to the south, one on the northern side of it, one on the southern side of it. Shabedarum lo nichlas adam b'me'alam. The southern side minor entrance was never used. V'alafu mufurish al yidei Yecheskel shenemar, and that's what the pasuk says in Yecheskel. Vayomer elai Hashem hashara zeh sagur yeh lo yipaseach v'ish lo yavobo ki Hashem elokei Yisrael bavo v'haya sagur. That this is an entrance for God, so to speak. It is not meant for any human beings to walk through. I guess decorative in nature, but it was not meant to actually be used. They would take the key and open up this minor door, the other one, and then they would enter into the Tau. Rabbi Huda Omer, says, no, they would actually walk through the width of the wall, until he ended up, there was like a tunnel in the width of the wall, until he ended up in an alcove or whatever, until he ended up in between the two gates. So he'd open up both gates from in between the two gates. He would open up the outer gates from inside and the inner gates from outside, because he found himself situated between the two gates. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we will do Daf Lamed Zayin, the last parak, the last part of Maseches Midos. And then we start Nida.